Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today we're talking marriage. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we've been thinking about marriage and the power of relationship and God's intention for marriage. But, you know, many times when we're dating, we're not really showing who we really are. And then after we get married, the real person comes out. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes you learn some things. Sometimes it's more destructive and damaging. So how has it been different after the marriage than before the marriage? What's different about you, about the person you married, and how have you worked through that? I got my own personal little story to tell you here in just a minute.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Intentional Living Center today. While you were dating, maybe you thought he liked animals, and then after you got married, no way. You know, we're not going to have that. Around here, maybe before you got married, when you were dating, you thought that she was going to enjoy all your sporting activities and want to be with you all the time for every game, and afterwards, not so much. Or it could be more serious. Maybe things showed up that if there had been some honesty up front, there had been some transparency, things on the table that we could have talked about, it could have saved a lot of the bumps and bruises that can occur after marriage, after a wedding, after you say I do, and you have to work through these things. I'd love to hear some of you who said, hey, you know, we just laid it out, we were honest with each other, and here's what helped us after we got married. On the other hand, it may be that you had to go through some tough times and learn some lessons and pull some things together and process of forgiveness. How do you relate to that? 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Don and I, we've been married over 40 years. And we were kids. We were teenagers when we got married. And we learned a lot. You know, the first few years you learn a lot. And I tell the story when I'm out in conference about, you know, Donna grew up with a dad who loved to work outside. He loved to, you know, work in the yard, do things around the yard, plant and have a garden and all that kind of thing. I grew up with a dad whose idea of being outdoors was to go to Holiday Inn and open the window, you know. That was about it. And so I chuckle because even to this day, after all these years, Donna loves to work in the yard. You know, she loves to you know, plant things and trim things and move things and grow things. And to me, and I chuckle because it's just a different kind of view of things. She sees it as an opportunity to be out in nature and enjoy working with plants and flowers and all that. And I see it as, I look out and I say, look at all those things that have to be trimmed and clean and messy yard. Two different worldviews when it comes to that. And, that's just a little personal example. I'd love to hear how maybe some differences before and after marriage showed up in your own life. And the real purpose, the big idea for this program is this one thing. And here it is. I want you to leave this program. If you're dating today, you're single today, you're thinking of getting married, about the power and importance of transparency and being as real with each other as you possibly can while you're dating. So who you marry and who you are after you marry are one and the same to the extent that's possible. I think that's important. So that's the real focus here today. And you can all help by calling and sharing your story to help others. 888-888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Patty. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been listening to you for about maybe 4 years. Never had the nerve to call you. My experiences with not being intentional or not being honest or not sharing. When I met my husband, he wanted to have more kids, and I didn't tell him I didn't want to have kids. So when we got married, something came up, and I told him I did not want to have no kids. It was the worst thing that ever happened for him. What you don't know or what you don't say will hurt somebody very bad. And it was very hard for me to deal with it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. That's real life. That's real life. You know, we could go to the extreme and call it bait and switch. I think sometimes people who do that, you know, they intentionally don't disclose things, but sometimes it's just through the innocence of love and attraction and passion and dating and, you know, getting ready to get married that we overlook the things that we can see in another person. Now, but believe me, the purpose of this program is to encourage you, if that's become an issue in your marriage, that you go through the process of forgiveness and reconciliation and realizing we're human beings and allowing for a time of restoration or maybe even some boundaries that may need to be put in place at times when there are things that just need to be addressed and put on the table because they're serious matters. But for those who are single today, to really think about the power and the importance of transparency like that caller. Hey, listen, if you just really say, I don't want to have children, I just don't want to be a parent, it is a lot better and wiser and smarter to tell the person before you get married than afterward. And it can even come down to the issues I jokingly talked about when it comes to animals and you know, how you want to live your life and how you want to handle money and about your faith. So often we hear about the bait and switch when it comes to faith. A person claims to be a Christian and afterward they're not, or they don't really live it out. It becomes one of the attributes of the pursuit during dating, but not a reality afterward. David's on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Well, my question is that I am in a marriage right now, and before we got together and got married and I moved in to her home, there were certain things that changed that I didn't expect about the woman that I was married to, and I saw the qualities that I liked about her, but I didn't actually see exactly what was going to happen after we got married and we got together and was living together.
What do you want to share? What specific kind of thing would be helpful to understand?
My specific kind of things is that, like you said she was a Christian, or actually she said was a Catholic, and I find out now that I don't think that she's really a believer of Christ and what God says he will do, who mm-hmm. he says he is, and everything.
Well, David, I'm sorry about that. You know, we always go back to Scripture as the basis, the ultimate foundation of trying to make decisions. We have to get to the end of ourselves and realize that the Bible, the Scripture, becomes the source of direction and wisdom in our life. And while you're disappointed, again, expectations minus reality, disappointment, and now you're seeing her for differently than you did before, there's a different person, and I'm sure that's upsetting and hurtful for you. But from a biblical standpoint, the Bible says if you're married to a person who's not a believer, that you're not to leave them because of that. But if they leave, the Scripture says, then that's a different story. In other words, we don't divorce a person simply because they aren't who we thought they were. Now, if there are specific behaviors or there's things that are specifically going on in the relationship that need to be confronted about money or about communication or about honesty, then those things need to be addressed. But pray for her. I mean, you need to pray for her. Is there some specific issue, David, that I can help you with in terms of your relationship?
She's going through some medical concerns, and I'm being there and supporting her and supposed to be, I'm telling her to have faith in the dentist that she's seeing and have faith in God that everything's going to be okay. But sometimes she prays and she prays with me, but she doesn't seem to have the faith or believe that God will answer their prayer. And I'm going through a trial right now. I'm on treatment for something in my blood that happened before I came a Christian. And that thing has hurt me now, and I'm taking medicines that's supposed to help me get rid of the poison that was in my bloodstream and get rid of it.
Hey, let me jump in, David. We've been having phone problems here this morning. The phone company's working on some lines, but I think I got the essence of what you're saying. If your spouse isn't a believer, if that's true, she doesn't know Christ, you wouldn't expect her to have that kind of faith. you wouldn't expect her to pray and have faith that God's going to answer. I mean, that's evidence. Part of the evidence of our relationship with Christ is a growing faith. Let me just give you a really practical thing I think would be encouraging for you, David, is not focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have with her. Focus on the things that do attract you to her, the things that you love about her. And then see it as an opportunity to really love her, pray for her, speak into her life, and allow God to do a work in her life. Your job is not to be her Holy Spirit. But boy, you sent out a great big warning sign, and I'll tell you, we've heard it thousands of times in my lifetime of ministry. People who are they're one kind of person when you're dating, and we all are to a certain extent, and then we're different after we say I do. You know, it could be as simple as before, I like broccoli, and after I get married, I really let you know I don't. Now, that's one thing. But I am a follower of Christ, and afterwards, well, not really quite so much. That's a different thing. The transparency, the reality, the vulnerability, the being honest with each other, being who you really are while you're dating, I think is such an important aspect of really taking time and knowing the person you're going to get married to. But in your case, David, you really need to love her and pray for her and ask God to do something special in your marriage and her life.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Whitney. I've been on the air a couple of times, and my husband has recently, after 2 years becoming a Christian, he was not a Christian while we were married, and then 2 years ago, now almost actually 3 years ago, and he became a Christian, started going to church with me in Phoenix, Arizona, and in the last 3 weeks has decided that he is not a believer anymore, and it is extremely hard and difficult to handle as I'm keeping my faith and doing my good deeds and good wills and hoping that he sees that through me and hopefully we'll have a change of heart. Thanks, you guys. Well, I appreciate your program very much. Bye-bye.
You know, glad to be here for you. Thank you. Lynn is in Florida today. Lynn, welcome to Intentional Living.
See you.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I don't know where I'm going. Hold on. I'll meet. Just you go your way and I'll go mine.
Okay, so I just do my own thing.
Hello. Are you there? Are you? Well, we'll have to get to Lynn in a moment. Let me go to Kimberly in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Kimberly.
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, when I began dating who would soon to be my husband, it was after some observation that he was growing in his faith. I was aware that he had not been practicing his faith at all or his walk with Christ, and then saw evidence in that we would attend church and he was involved in children's ministry and a men's Bible study and just really growing and seemed to be excited in that. And as a result, I agreed when he proposed to marry him. But shortly after that, we ended up moving, which really took us out of our community there that we had really just been comfortable in. And his zeal for Christ really faded. And I know that I was supposed to marry him based on, you know, my prayers to Christ and just really at the time said, I really don't want to be outside your will. But then after the marriage started, there was a lot of challenges with the son, his son that came into our marriage and everything like that. So even though I felt like I had been intentional in observing him and his behavior, after the marriage and, you know, and after the move out of the community, he really has faltered as a leader, as a spiritual leader, in our relationship and in our marriage.
Have you talked to him about this?
Oh, yes, very much, very much. And a lot of conversations. And his responses are not, it's more, you know, well, work doesn't allow for my day off. You know, I haven't really been involved in the community because of work. And I really feel like it's excuse-based, and I'm not sure, you know, I talked to him about having faith, about asking for that day off permanently, that God will provide, you know, in every way possible if it's in an effort to pursue him. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, where I am right now is just going to church, taking my kids to church, and praying, and definitely not as diligently as I should because I know I, you know, I'm sinful and tired too, but I definitely am trying to just continue in my walk and bring my children into that and speak to him. But I don't.
How does this impact you in your marriage? I mean, beyond what you've shared, as you look at your husband, as you look at the relationship with your husband as a man and a woman, how has this impacted you?
Well, there's resentment, and I question his decisions in raising our kids, you know. Deep down, I feel slightly abandoned in that I feel that I'm responsible for seeking God's will, you know, which is, you know, I know God is always present. He's been with me, has left me even when I turned away from him. So I know that he's still in control, but, you know, you lose, you know, I recognize I've lost respect for him, and it makes me a doubtful wife and a nervous mom. You know, not all the time, but when pressed, I can tell that if I could have faith in his decisions and they were based in his time with Christ, you know, or his walk with God, I would be able to relax and have a lot more joy. But I'm not I can't really blame him, but I don't know.
Well, you've been very honest and very transparent. I would encourage you, Lynn, as a believer, you know, as a follower of Christ, Kimberly, that you really focus on growing yourself and letting God work in your life. Because you just said you're having trouble, you're struggling with trusting him about decisions. You're struggling, I think you said, being nervous and concerned, that you really turn your spiritual eyes inward and say, Lord, what can I learn through this? How can I learn to trust you more and not have my eyes on my husband or have my eyes on the circumstances around me, but to really grow in my relationship with you and my trust for you, and in turn to give my husband to you, and intentionally be able to put your husband in God's hands and let God do his work in your husband's life. You know, there's a time and a season for everything, and you don't know. The story's not over yet. Your husband still has things to learn and experiences, and your prayer would be that he'd have a genuine, dynamic, growing relationship with Christ. And that would be my encouragement to you, to allow this process as you go through this, and I appreciate you sharing it, Kimberly, to turn your eyes inward and allow God to teach you and grow you in the fruit of the Spirit as you grow in your relationship with Him.
Hello, Dr. Randy. I just want to say I love your show. Ever since I started to listen to your message, how my life has changed, how I became a more understanding parent versus, you know, before not having enough patience because there was not enough to go around and stress levels kept on rising. I just finished a conversation with my sister that was going through a tough situation with her teenager, and I passed along the message that you had on a couple shows prior, and she was just like, that's the word I needed to hear. And they're like, well, how do you know so much? And I'm like, well, turn on the radio or go into the website and you can find the message from God. It's just so amazing. And I'm just extremely thankful. My life, again, has changed as well as my children. And we just couldn't be happier. I thank you so much for blessing us each and every day with your words. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. We're all on this journey together. And the different stages, and we learn from each other. There's so many men and women over the years that I've learned from, and we just pass along what Scripture teaches and try to encourage you on your journey. And I want to say thanks to our members. You guys, you men and women, young and old, couples and singles who support Intentional Living, make that story you just heard possible. And I want to thank you from the depths of my heart for standing with the ministry. And this month, when you share a gift with the Ministry of Intentional Living, listener-supported ministry, I want to send to you from our ministry the DVD teaching, What Motivates Children to Misbehave? What's behind misbehavior? What does it mean? What can you learn as a parent or grandparent? It's our gift to you. And then, of course, all members, those who join us every month in regular support, the ongoing teaching and mentoring from me to you on CD. Join us today at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right, thank you, and welcome back. You have a lot of calls we want to get to here. Lynn is on the line in Florida. Are you there, Lynn?
Yes, I am.
There
Sorry
you
about
go.
That earlier.
That's all right. Hey, listen, you got things going on. That happens. What's your comment today?
Well, I have a positive comment, you know, regarding the mentoring and how important it is to get around the right people in your life. I did not have that growing up at all, and I had several boyfriends before I met my husband, and we were young, and I was dumb. And I was his first girlfriend, and I kept some things that were very secret, private, and even hurtful to myself throughout our relationship while we were dating. And once we became married, and I became follower of Christ, and the Lord just put certain things on my heart, and I realized certain things that I didn't realize were wrong and I shouldn't have done. All were coming to the surface, and I felt like a big ball of mess. And I was going to church. My husband was not going to church, and it was so heavy on my heart one night, I just pretty much laid all that out. So here I am, the clean Christian who was so-called living life right, and all of a sudden I share all my bad junk with him. And I think I pretty much overwhelmed him. And I thought it was going to be a catastrophe to our marriage. But it ended up in the long run working out okay. But it was a matter of getting the right mentoring around and getting active in a good, strong, spirit-filled church that really led you to understand God's word and allow God to speak to your heart, and understanding God speaking to your heart opposed to what the enemy's telling your head. To make it through. My husband, I've been married over 20 years now.
Good.
And we would not be if it was not for God and having the positive mentors in our life.
Well, Lynn, you made a really good point. And I would say to people, you listen to a program like this and you hear Lynn, she just backed up and dumped everything onto her husband. She told, you know, just, I got to get this off my chest, tell you everything about my past. We've done programs on this. How much of your past should you be bringing up to your spouse? And in Lynn's case, it sounds like it almost just overloaded your marriage and sunk it, but God intervened and you had some good mentoring and a good church, and you've got through that process. I tell people, if you've got some things you really feel like, hey, it's going to enhance my marriage and it's going to build up our relationship, and we really, and my husband or my wife need to know some things so we can move forward, that you do it with a lot of prayer and a lot of counsel, maybe even in a counseling setting, that you use some real discernment and wisdom in your life. And it sounds like in your case, God intervened and saved you from what could have been a disaster.
Right. And seeing at that time, I did not have that mentoring, and I was too ashamed to talk to anybody in my church about it.
Well,
and my husband didn't understand why I was having a touch me not going on, and my touch me not was because all of a sudden I just didn't feel like I was clean enough for him to touch. I didn't feel worthy of him enough to touch, and I just felt like I needed to explain to him that, and I about justified that to him really quick. But God did work it out, and like I said, programs like yours are wonderful, and going to church is great. Getting in church and thinking you have to be so holy and so perfect and you can't share with someone,
that's right,
it does not help you at all. Nobody's perfect,
and that's
except for Christ.
And that is the reminder, Lynn. You know, the churches, people don't go to church sometimes because they see all the hypocrites. The best place for people. You know, we're all sinful, fallen people, and a church is a place to build community and grow in our strength. And I'm so pleased that, you know, you guys were able to work through this and as a result have a stronger marriage than ever. Doesn't always go that way. That's why honesty, you know, being as honest as you can, and that's a whole discussion itself. How do you communicate things from your life, from your past? You know, what format, how do you do that, and so on. But I will tell you this, if you're dating someone, you're thinking of getting married, you know, don't play the game of pursuit and be somebody you're not. And then after you get married, there's a change. I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. You've heard a few stories today. It may not bite you in the first few months, but it will eventually catch up and bite you. Honesty is always the best policy when it comes to being authentic and real while you're dating before you get married.
Being a good steward of the things God has given you starts with the knowledge that God owns it all. That's a biblical concept that even folks in the Bible struggled with.
Take the example of Isaac. There's a situation of someone who waited too long to do his estate planning because he could no longer tell his sons from each other. The other example would be David, King David, who made great provisions so that building the temple was a very easy thing for Solomon to have the resources for.
That's John Vryhoff with the business law firm of Snell & Wilmer. Going to be joining us as one of the guest speakers at the Thrive Conference for Family Businesses in Phoenix later this month, talking about the importance of planning ahead. And you can get all the details for that at familybusinessconference.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Dennis Hutchinson.
All right. Hey, thank you. That, by the way, as Dennis mentioned, John, he's an attorney. He's a great guy and wonderful communicator. And he's going to be talking about estate planning, but also succession planning, which is one of the most requested topics for our Family Business Conference. So much so that we had to move it from one of the smaller rooms into the main ballroom because we've had such a response to that. Here's what's happened with this Family Business Conference. We've had such positive response that we're almost to the point of not being able to take any more registrations because we're having workshops. You know, we're having different sessions on communication, on employee leveraging your employees, on raising capital, and all of these topics that with the use of the rooms, we're almost full in a couple of these workshops, which would, you know, is going to cause us to have to cut off the numbers here pretty soon. So if you've been thinking of registering, even though we're 9 days away from or 10 days away from the conference, this would be the time to do it. I don't believe we're going to be able to get to the end of the trail here or have any on-site registrations with a greatly increased price, by the way. And so today would be the time to register. If you've been thinking about it, I'm not quite sure what our numbers are going to look like here in the next couple of days. So this is a great time to call and get signed up, okay? If you've been thinking about Phoenix, it's going to be in Phoenix at the Biltmore, May 28th and 29th. Great lineup of teachers. I'll be there myself teaching. Go to familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. And the information is there for you to get registered. All right, single parents. You know, we hear from a lot of single moms and dads. In fact, we're doing conferences this fall for parents. And we're going to be talking about that in an upcoming program. Single parents, you got double duty for sure. Who led you to Christ? And who can you lead to Christ? And then we got a special program for grandparents as well coming up. So some of the topics from the Intentional Living Center. Go to theintentionallife.com for all the information. The big idea to remember today, be honest, okay? We'll see you next time.